it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape. Definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in. And recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis, when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really couldn't devour him. And from that point then we hear a name change. Rearrange the game so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go! Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam show. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam. Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam show. Turn it up.
Indeed, 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 it's the Pancakes and Power Slam show. We are once again here live on a Tuesday nights, episode 101. I am just so happy, so honored, so privileged to be here for 101 episodes. This has just been an amazing ride. It's been some ups, some downs, but we are up and we are rising and we are just continuing to get better and better. I'm not usually the sappy type, but I tell you what, I really want to, before we get to any type of formatting of the show, before we get to what's scheduled, forget all that right now, I really want to take some time to thank all of you who have listened, supported, spread the word about Pancakes and Power Slams, episode 100. I couldn't have asked for anything more. It was such an amazing episode. Thank you so much, Tyler Rex. It's hilarious that the interview, there was so much buzz created around the interview last week. It went to all the major wrestling websites, wrestling news websites, and it's just been amazing. I'm just so honored to everyone who's been just supporting Pancakes and Power Slams along the ride. Special shout out to RealWrestling.net. I mean, those are just a group of people who love professional wrestling and liked my work on wrestling.com and just decided to support the heck out of me and doesn't ask for anything in return. So, I mean, go there. Support WeAreWrestling.net. Their website is just continuing to get better and better. Their following is just starting to get magnetic. And just go to WeAreWrestling.net. Support them. They have some great news. And I just want to thank all the guys over there, Chuck and Peter and all the rest of the guys over at WeAreWrestling.net. I really wanted to spend a moment on thanking the support of WeAreWrestling.net, some of the biggest supporters of Pancakes and Power Slams. They always have great things to say about the show, and just like I said, I like my work over Wrestling Inc. and decided to support the heck out of the show. So our biggest promotional sponsor, WeAreWrestling.net, Wrestling Rumble, and of course my two homes, Wrestling Inc. and Bleacher Report. Just, I'm so thankful, and I just want to thank everyone who listened last week, who supported last week, who participated in Stump the Host, who listened to the interview. It's the numbers went through the roof for last week's show. I want to thank just our guest, Julio Romano from Bleacher Report. I want to thank one of the pioneers of the show, Ryan Fuqua. You'll hear more from him lately. And my right-hand man, I want to thank Derek. He's been with me through the whole journey just about. And just I'm so thankful for that guy. Just an amazing guy, just an avid wrestling fan, and has grown to be a good friend. And it's just an amazing time here. I love this show. I love doing this. I love professional wrestling. And there's three things that I love more than anything in the world, and that's God, my son, and professional wrestling, in that order. And I can talk about those three things all day, every day, and I'm just so thankful that you are along with me in this wrestling ride, and I absolutely love this show. And 101 episodes, I'm just so thankful, and I just can't go any further in this show without just really giving you all my debt of gratitude and saying, without you all, I wouldn't be doing the show, and Derek wouldn't be doing the show, and I'm just so thankful for you all. So just, I love talking wrestling, and so Chris Prolific, at Chris Prolific is my personal Twitter. Follow me at Chris Prolific. Follow at Crave Wrestling. That is the wrestling Twitter site for the Pancakes and Power Slam show and Crave Wrestling. Bunch of trivia, bunch of wrestling talk. I want to connect with you all. Follow at Chris Prolific. Follow at Crave Wrestling. Go to the Facebook site and follow Crave Wrestling. You all, I've seen by the comments and all the messages that I get on email and et cetera, that you like my work in the Bleacher Report and wrestling.com. You don't always have to agree, but that's life. You know, it's not about necessarily agreeing. It's about connecting with ideas and helping each other grow. So I really thank you all. I just can't say enough. And Derek, it's such an amazing privilege to have you on the show with me, and it's great to have you here tonight, sir.
Hey, everybody, wrestling would not be what it is without the presence of Chris Featherstone. Everybody, let's give it up to Chris Featherstone. All the sponsors, all the listeners, listen to this, 101 episodes. Chris, we did it. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You brought me along on this journey with you. I was in the first few episodes, yada, yada, yada. I wouldn't be here if you wouldn't have asked me to say, hey, let's do this. So we're doing it. This is great. Everyone, give it up for Chris Featherstone, probably the biggest wrestling fan I've ever met, I've ever known. He's an awesome friend. We've done this together for a long time, 100 episodes. Last week was the most groundbreaking episode, probably almost anything I've ever been involved with. It was marvelous, wonderful. Anybody out there who hasn't listened to it yet, you can watch it again on the website, Pancakes and Power Slams, Crave Wrestling, iTunes, whatever your format is. Check it out. The best wrestling you can get on a Tuesday night throughout the whole week, not even Tuesday. You just can't fit enough into the small amount of time that we have, but we always get a smidgen of it in to where you want to listen next week.
Absolutely. Once again, thank you, Derek. And let's get on to talking about the pay-per-view caliber Raw that we had the pleasure to feast our eyes on Monday, last night. And so let's get a little bit into that. We start off with let's give a little backstory before we get into this. And of course, let's as we always do, let's lead in with the trivia question. Tito Santana finisher was named what? Chat room, tweet at Crave Wrestling. Okay, here's the backstory before we get to this first segment. Many people know that I'm not a CM Punk fan. I appreciate the heck out of the guy. As far as his wrestling ability is concerned, his work ethic, I'm not a fan of. I honestly think CM Punk is overrated. His charisma's through the roof. His mic work is impeccable. I will give him that. His in-ring ability is good, but it's not great. And I think that so many CM Punk marks, they push him up to a level that he really is not. He's not an amazing wrestler. And I wrote an article about a year ago on the Bleach Report, said CM Punk is not the best in the world, and I showcased five wrestlers in the United States and Japan that is better than CM Punk, and I also had five more honorable mentions. And so go check that article out on Bleacher Report. CM Punk is not the best in the world, five wrestler who will prove otherwise. That's the title of the article on Bleacher Report. And whether you're talking about Austin Aries or whether you're talking about Kurt Angle, or if you're talking about just all the other names that is better than CM Punk that I wrote on the article, he's not the best in the world. I know it's a moniker, but you know, I don't even think that it's a strong enough moniker, because a lot of people think that he is the best in the world. So I actually wrote August the 1st of 2013. So I wrote it. I actually wrote it around a little bit before SummerSlam of last year, a few weeks before SummerSlam. So I am not a CM Punk fan. I think he's overrated. Not his mic work, but I just think that he's an overrated guy all the way around. You have a lot of people who are just so infatuated with CM Punk that it's just no fair. And real quick, have the article here. Honorable mentions were Carl Anderson, Austin Aries, Chris Jericho, Christopher Daniels, and Kenta. And Kenta is actually the person, he's actually one of my favorite Japanese wrestlers, and he's been amazing in the States and in Japan, and had a decent run in ROH for a while. But Hirohishi, Tanahashi, all the names that I mentioned on the article that could prove CM Punk otherwise. Daniel Bryan, even, you know. AJ Styles, even. So I keep throwing out names, but it kind of flatters me a little bit when you get all these people who are so infatuated with Okada. That's another one. Okada is amazing. But you got all these people who are so infatuated with CM Punk, and the guy quit. It's not about the WWE fired him or suspended him or didn't want anything to do with him anymore. CM Punk left the business. He left the WWE on his own terms. He walked out. He was not satisfied with his current run, but he left the WWE. So they come back to his hometown, and of course you have people chanting CM Punk throughout the entire show, but let's put it all in perspective here. CM Punk quit the business. That was his own decision. That was his own terms. Yes, he didn't agree with the direction that he was going, but hey, I mean, that's just a part of the business. I'm sure that a lot of people, you know, who are top names, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Triple H, The Undertaker, I'm sure that throughout their entire career, they weren't always – Shawn Michaels even. Shawn Michaels, almost shortly before Shawn Michaels retired, he was in an angle with JBL that he was some type of submissive lackey. And they were toiling, and his wife was involved. And so, come on now, that was a humbling, semi-embarrassing angle, but Shawn Michaels appreciated the business for so much that he was willing to do that for the business and not just be such a hog. CM Punk had the World Heavyweight Championship for 434 days, the biggest in the entire century, in the quarter century. He had the longest reign in the quarter century, and this guy walks out because he wasn't happy with his current position in the WWE. It just baffles me how many and people were chanting CM Punk all throughout the show. This wasn't a Vince thing. This is a CM Punk thing. Vince McMahon is still trying to get CM Punk to come back to the WWE, and for some reason, people are chanting CM Punk and booing wrestlers for the sake of CM Punk's decision, not the WWE's decision. And so the elephant was clearly going to be huge in the room, and WWE did a remarkable job. Now, I'm very critical about most of the things that WWE does, but they did a remarkable job going head on to the elephant in the room and just putting a big harpoon straight through it, and as it was trying to stampede. And the segment that started off Raw was absolutely amazing. To have CM Punk's music come out, all the Chicago marks, they get all elated and they almost pee their pants, and then they almost poop their pants when Paul Heyman comes out. And that pipe bomb promo was gold. I absolutely loved it. Yes, Brock Lesnar comes out and they transitioned it into the Brock Lesnar Undertaker feud. But the promo that Paul Heyman cut in the beginning of the show was a fantastic way to start the show. And what CM Punk fans need to realize is this is not a WWE thing. This is a CM Punk thing. The guy quit, so you can't be mad at anything affiliated with the WWE. And again, I've been very critical throughout the past 10 or so years of WWE because I think, and as a whole, it's been lazy booking and not as thrilling as the competition they had with the Attitude Era. But you have to understand, again, this is a CM Punk thing. This is not a WWE thing.
It's not a WWE thing. I couldn't have said it better than the way you just summarized it, made it anybody can understand it. And it was really good for the WWE to do that. That's probably one of the slickest moves the WWE has done in a long time, is to just focus, like you said, the elephant in the room. Let's call out CM Punk on what he did. Oh, he got the best spot that any wrestler, anybody that aspired to be in your profession could have, and you just walk away. Well, yeah, that's not cool. But it was just, that was Paul Heyman. I just can't stand the guy, but he's good at what he does. And just to see him come out was absolutely wonderful. Brock Lesnar coming out as well. Like you said, well, the only thing I hated about that was Mark Henry just walked out and just got beaten up.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't. It was so horrible. He got thrown through a table. He just laid there, Brock Lesnar, about 10 minutes of tearing the table apart, and Henry's just sitting there like nothing. He just gets decimated. And Mark Henry, he's nobody. He's a nothing anymore. Don't even concern yourself with him. But my hat's off to the WWE for starting Raw off with something that, you know, I won't forget. When I think about CM Punk, I'll think about when he walked out.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I just continue to stress that this is a CM Punk thing. For all you CM Punk fans out there, all you CM Punk marks, this is something that the CM... I mean, and, yeah, I, you know, the theme song's cool,
Brock Lesnar
but
should come out with that song.
Yeah, that would be absolutely amazing if Brock Lesnar came out to Cult of Personality, and then of course to save his gimmick, you can have the Here Comes the Pain music come on, and that's cool. I'm fine with that, but yeah, I just think you have to address the elephant in the room, like I said, and this is an amazing decision to do that, and I think that WWE pulled a great move by doing such. I think that was much needed. And as far as the Mark Henry thing goes, man, this it's so sad what they're doing with Mark Henry. And here's the thing. They could have really pushed Mark Henry and made him worth our time, and having him on, they could have pushed him in some form and in some degree to have a Mark Henry versus Brock Lesnar match at Extreme Rules, because Taker's going to be gone after Mania. He's done, and for another year. Mark and Brock Lesnar are going to need someone else to feud with, and Mark Henry would have been a perfect opportunity. But now you just have Mark Henry continue to get beat up every time he's with Brock Lesnar, and it's ridiculous to me. Ryan, you agree?
Yeah.
Hello, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah. Looks like we lost real quick. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm sure we'll pick him back up here. But, yeah, it would have been a perfect time to use Mark Henry for Brock Lesnar in Extreme Rules. And, sadly, we'll just have Kimbo Slice Extra Large just get beat up by Brock Lesnar repeatedly. I don't even know why they're even doing that, using him as a pawn in Brock Lesnar's everything that he does. Ryan, you're back on the line? Looks like he's not.
Who's Ryan? I'm Derek.
Not Ryan. Is the awesome co-host there. One of the original ones. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Brock Lesnar in the coming weeks, and Mark Henry. I don't know if this can be salvaged, to be honest with you. I really don't know if this can be salvaged with Mark Henry's career. Maybe if he turns heel again, but I'm not quite sure. So then we get the Usos defeating the New Age Outlaws to become the new WWE Tag Team Champions. Great job, chat room, Flying Burrito. Yeah, but the new Tag Team Champions, and I think that this was a great decision. I just think it was a little bit mistimed, to be honest with you. I wish that this would have been a WrestleMania moment. I think they deserve a WrestleMania moment. Yes, yeah, Chicago's a ruckus crowd. I understand that. But I think New Orleans would have been better as far as celebrating the win of the Usos. And this, to me, this only I hope we don't see a rematch with the New Age Outlaws. And I've been saying throughout the weeks that I didn't want to see New Age Outlaws at WrestleMania, and I still there's a part of me, well, most of me still did not want to. However, I still think that the Usos should have had their WrestleMania moment at WrestleMania, even if someone would have defeated the New Age Outlaws before the pay-per-view. I mean, come on now. You got a whole month to build. You could have had Rowan and Harper win, but they're involved with the Shield, and I understand that. You could have had the Real Americans win. Actually, I would have preferred the Real Americans against the Usos. That would have been a much better match at WrestleMania. So, could have been better options, but at the end of the day, I'm very happy that the Usos won. They deserve it. I don't think that's an argument. I don't think that's a debate. They deserve it, and I hope that they have a long title run.
They have a long title run. But was this due for New Age Outlaws? Are they done now?
They are done. Maybe. They're agents again for NXT.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. You know what? It was a good run. I enjoyed it. And the Usos had it coming. They really did. I'm not a huge Uso go-getter, but I see what they're doing, and they're a good tag team. They're solid. They're sound. They know what they're talent-wise. So I don't hate it. I enjoyed the New Age Outlaws coming back and doing what they're doing. So maybe they'll still pop around a little bit. I kind of hope they do. But anyway, good for the Usos. Good job.
Yeah, I totally agree. Big E defeating Cesaro by disqualification due to interference by Jack Swagger. We saw another match later in the show. Honestly, I don't. Big E's another person that they're misusing so much. I just totally don't agree. I think it's a horrible idea. I think it's a terrible booking decision what they're doing with Big E. And I really hope that we see more, a better booking with the Intercontinental Champion. What in the world? He's the Intercontinental Champion, and they're just booking him so terribly. They're booking both of the mid-card champions terribly. Hopefully we see and we'll get to the Shield later on, but hopefully the U.S. title will be finally defended at WrestleMania. Defend a period, but specifically WrestleMania. But as far as the Intercontinental Championship is concerned, it seems like they're going to do a triple threat at WrestleMania with the Real Americans both trying to vie for the Intercontinental title. I don't like that. I prefer them to be a tag team, a solid tag team. We don't need to see any type of breakup, nothing of the sort. I know that Cesaro is getting way more pops and way more popularity than Jack Swagger is, but Jack Swagger needs Antonio Cesaro right now, because if there's any type of breakup, Jack Swagger is getting what I call the Jannetty treatment. And the Jannetty treatment, for those who don't know, which probably most of the listeners would, Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels formed a team in the 80s and early 90s, but only about a year into the 90s, called the Rockers. And they got their fame in the AWA when they were the Midnight Rockers, and they came to the WWE as the Rockers. They were a great tag team, one of the most fluid, one of the most solid tag teams of WWE. Never had an official tag team title run. They had an unofficial tag team run when they defeated the Hart Foundation. I think it was like in one of the VHS tapes or a house show or something like that. I don't recall exactly off the top of my head right now, at least. And then they switched it right back and had the Hart Foundation beat them. So they never really had an official title run. They should have, because they're a really good tag team. But it was time for the Rockers to split up. and they split up in an episode of The Barbershop and that originally aired in late 91, but was taped, and well, it was originally taped in 91, but aired in early 92. And Shawn Michaels turned on Marty Jannetty, threw him through a glass, the glass in the barbershop, and that was the start of the Shawn Michaels heel run. So after that, Jannetty really didn't do anything. He had a very short Intercontinental Championship run, and then he started teaming up with the 1-2-3 Kid and Al Snow. When Al Snow was Leaf Cassidy, there were the New Rockers, and after that, it wasn't much of anything, honestly. And so that's what I call the Jannetty treatment. You're someone when you're in a tag team, and then when you leave the tag team, you become a nobody. And I think that Jack Swagger, when the Real Americans break up, yeah, thankfully he has a world heavyweight and a U.S. title run in his resume, but when the Real Americans break up, I smell a Jannetty treatment coming along.
Oh, definitely. That was such an awesome view on that. Marty Jannetty, he is somebody that he could have been a lot, but ended up being nothing. And I remember everybody thought Marty Jannetty was the better of the two. When I would play with my friends on the playground, we'd be the Rockers, and the other team would be Demolition or whatever. And everybody, oh, I'm going to be John. I'm going to be Marty Jannetty. I was proud to be Shawn Michaels. HBK, are you kidding me? I love Shawn Michaels, and I do to this day. But I understand what you're saying. The Real Americans, they need to stay together just for a while longer. I don't want to see Swagger just become a schmuck, because he can do a little better. He's very talented. I like Swagger. I like Cesaro just as well. Cesaro, he's probably the better superstar of the two. He's the one that they're going to really have shine. But Jack Swagger, he does need to still kind of, I don't want to say hang on to the coattails of Cesaro, but he still needs a spotlight. He needs Zeb Coulter there as well. So just keep them together for a bit. Let's maybe around SummerSlam time, or I don't know. What's July? What's their pay-per-view?
Payback.
Payback.
Oh, Money in the Bank is
Payback is
June.
Something
Money
like
in
that.
The Bank is July. Yeah.
But let's keep the team together just for a bit longer, and then we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And then we got the Wyatt family versus the Shield, again, just like Elimination Chamber, amazing match. They put it together again. But this time was a bit of a twist. We saw some dissension, some big dissension finally, because they keep billing Seth Rollins as the architect, and then we saw him walk away from the match and cause another Wyatt family defeat over the Shield. Now there's a positive and a negative about this. The positive is that I'm all on board with the Shield going against each other at WrestleMania and having Roman Reigns have his moment. I think that it's time for not necessarily a breakup, but yeah, I definitely think that the breakup would help Roman Reigns. However, I think that the Shield should stay intact as a group, honestly. Even if you have Roman Reigns depart from the Shield, and even if you have Roman Reigns depart from the Shield and have someone come in from NXT like a Leo Kruger, I'll be totally fine with that. It still have the Shield intact as a three-man person, because the Shield can actually still be there, and Roman Reigns could feud against the Shield as a face, and it would actually help both the Shield still be intact and Roman Reigns as a face. But now he's U.S. champion. So this can work out really well. I just, but the bad thing about that is that the Wyatt family defeating the Shield again for clean, I don't like that, because you still have to make the Shield look really strong. And I know that you're making the Wyatt family look stronger, but at the same time, I the Shield losing again cleanly, I'm not okay with that.
I'm not either. I mean, just kind of like what we said earlier about the Real Americans. I mean, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. The Shield still has a lot more to prove or to do, I think. And they're pushing the Wyatts more than they are the Shield, I feel. And it's just, that's really not right. And, I mean, the Wyatts are great. Not really. I'm just saying that because they keep pushing them and shoving them down our throats. Okay, then show us something great, Wyatts. Do something spectacular. The Shield seems to be more of a solid force, and they're just a more believable three-man tag team. So I don't want to see the Shield break up just yet. I mean, it seems like they're trying to do all of this prematurely. Maybe that's something that they're just trying to build up for. Just not yet. Let's hold off. I really don't know what they're doing, but I just really want them to keep these teams together just for a little bit longer.
Yeah, yeah. I understand. I totally understand. We got a request to do some trivia in the chat room. So what wrestler's name was the Lariat? What wrestler's name was the Lariat? It's a bit of an easier trivia today, but I think I may get a little bit it may get a little bit harder throughout the show. Looks like we may even Stan Hansen, good job, chat room, already. I knew it was going to be a little easier. And next we have Emma and Santino defeating Summer Rae and Fandango. Again, I was hoping that they could have stretched this out to WrestleMania. I think this would have been a good filler match in between some big – I think this would have been a good buffer match between Taker and the world title match. Between Taker and Lesnar and the WWE World Heavyweight title match, I think this match would have been a good match in between those, just as a buffer between the two. I think they could have really stressed this out to WrestleMania. It would have been a good spot for those four, and they're building a nice, decent feud. And I think that's, you know, your boy Fandango would have had a spot on WrestleMania, more fitting to what he should have had in the beginning, because Fandango and Chris Jericho still was probably one of the most useless matches in the history of WrestleMania, and did absolutely nothing to push Fandango. It did nothing. And I've said that many, many, many times before. Chris Jericho, he's my favorite. Awesome work ethic. Just really, really, really a good, all-around, fantastic wrestler. Willing to put over anyone. He can put over a broomstick if he wanted to. But I mean, just some names that he put over the past few years that really didn't amount to anything at the end of the day. Evan Bourne, Fandango, John Morrison. I mean, I like John Morrison. He's a good wrestler, but at the end of the day, that really didn't do anything. Wade Barrett. I like Bat News Barrett as a gimmick, but he didn't propel at all. And so at the end of the day, what does it really matter? The people that Chris Jericho put over aren't really put over, and Fandango's one of those people. But this is a good spot for Fandango, the comedic type of thing going on. You could have had Summer Rae at WrestleMania, you know, because she's new on Total Divas now, so it would have been good for WrestleMania, but we saw it at Raw.
Yeah, we saw it on Raw. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're right. Chris Jericho put over all those people. And Chris Jericho is a legend. He'll be a Hall of Famer for sure. He's one of those guys that just always delivered. But yet, everyone he's put over is just kind of lackluster mid-carder stuck and probably won't get too much farther. Yeah, that's disappointing. Yeah. You're making me sad tonight. And all the wrestling fans, because
well,
we're all like, yeah, he's right. What?
Yeah. definitely right about, you know, the whole, you know, CM Punk tirade that I had. You can't deny it. I mean, even if we spend more time than we should about CM Punk on this show, it's worth mentioning. It's worth talking about, and I really think that people just need to understand that it's a CM Punk thing. It's not a Vince thing. And so we got Ryan on the line. He's going to give us his 2 to 10 cents on the CM Punk situation.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Yeah, man, it's crazy how CM Punk is actually getting away with this. When you look at people like Rock, who got chastised and criticized when he left to actually entertain us in other ways, you know, he wasn't just, I don't know, at home on his couch or wherever CM Punk is, I don't know, but not bashing him. And I absolutely hate the fact that they're taking it out, the crowd is taking it out on the other superstars. Like, chanting his name during somebody else's match is a joke to me. That's crazy. It's crazy. But no, my main thing that I wanted to say is, I want people to understand, like, I don't get how just because CM Punk is gone doesn't mean that the WWE is going to stop. Like, it's just, it keeps going. The wheels keep spinning. You know, if you got your favorite sports team, when your favorite player retires, you don't stop liking the team. So, and not saying anybody's doing that, but I just, how people are just, you know, they're quick to say, well, I won't watch. I'll watch TNA. And I'm like, well, that's what you should do. So if you're not hurting anyone, you're actually doing the right thing. Yeah, exactly. So, but that's just my take on it. And then last thing I would like to hear you guys talk about, I know you kind of said something, maybe not yet, but just talk about how Triple H absolutely owned that Chicago crowd. I felt like he definitely came out on top. He won that battle. And that's all I got for this week.
Cool. Appreciate it, Ryan. Yes, good, very good analysis there by Ryan on CM Punk. And we'll definitely get to the Triple H thing when we get to the Daniel Bryan promo. I kind of agree. Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I agree with that as far as Triple H. We'll get to that in just a minute. And what Ryan said is a perfect segue to the Sheamus versus Christian match, because it made me so upset that the Chicago crowd was chanting CM Punk and chanting, this match sucks, this is awful, boring. It was not a boring match. The match was a really good match. It was a WrestleMania caliber match between Sheamus and Christian. You have two people who are good, solid wrestlers in the ring. You have two of the most solid wrestlers in the WWE roster. It was an ebb and flow match. It was a good match from bell to bell. And then you had the Chicago crowd being so butthurt that CM Punk hasn't came out, that you really didn't appreciate. I was watching that match and I was just so disgusted. I was so disgusted that wrestling fans could not enjoy a really good match between Sheamus and Christian, and a lot of people really wasn't able to see how good of a match or pay attention to how good of a match it was because they were being so distracted by false chants. This is awful. This match sucks. Boring. No, it was a good match. And it really, it really I was very disappointed as a wrestling fan, as a lifetime wrestling fan. I was very disappointed by hearing what I heard, and I understand that CM Punk's the Second City Saint, so to speak. That's his nickname as far as Chicago is concerned. But, and I understand that you're hometown boy. I'm not knocking the Chicago crowd for that. But come on now, let's throw some logic in there, which should be concentrated on in the beginning, that Sheamus versus Christian was a good match that was distracted by, again, CM Punk's decision not to return to the WWE.
CM Punk's not going to return to the WWE. Well, say that. Maybe he will. If he does, then what's all this been for? I'm just as disgusted. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, are you kidding me? This guy is... He just left. Everyone's cheering for him. I know Chicago's his whole town, but Chicago, wake up. Are you kidding me? That's like Cleveland chanting for LeBron James to come back. You just up and leave.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And then all of a sudden, oh, we love you. We love you again. Come back. Nah, I'm not falling for it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Chicago, I'm sorry if you listen to the show and you're from Chicago, but that's, you know, CM Punk was a heck of a talent, and he just decided to leave town.
Yeah, he just... Talking about, you know, Carlitos, I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool. CM Punk is more
Carlito
like, I spit in the face of Chicago. So so that's,
yeah.
Again, it was CM Punk's decision to quit. So, and you can't, you know, it's not WWE's fault. I mean, come on now. The guy had a title for a year and a half, and nobody has achieved that in a quarter century. So what else could you ask for? I mean, come on now. You have someone like, and people know that I'm not a John Cena fan, but I'm respecting John Cena more than I have ever before. And from a outside the ring point of view, I definitely have to agree with Tyler Rex. There was a ton of back and forth conversation throughout the world of the internet throughout the week as far as people agreeing and disagreeing with what Tyler Rex said, but I would have to go on the side of Tyler Rex when I hear that. I don't think it was bitterness. I think it was a matter of actually experiencing what he's experiencing, what he experienced when he was in WWE with John Cena. It does seem like outside of the ring he does have that type of attitude to him as far as John Cena is concerned. But inside the ring, even Tyler Rex agreed. He's a workhorse. And he's bust his butt for the business the past dozen years. And I'm not a John Cena fan because, you know, that was the only person I would say that was the most successful person that Chris Jericho put over. Because his first big angle was Chris Jericho back in Vengeance of 2002. And, of course, you know, Kurt Angle put him over too, kind of. He beat John Cena, but he put him over in a way. But Jericho was not afraid to give John Cena his first big win. It was just an impromptu match at Vengeance of 2002. And Jericho put him over. And again, kudos to Jericho. But this is the most successful person that he's put over, and now it's time for John Cena to return that favor to other people. That's why I really wish he would have let Seth Rollins or Cesaro beat him. I think that would have been just absolutely necessary. But it's like, man, you know, come on now. CM Punk, you have to realize you can't always get what you want, you know, and you had a title reign for a year and a half, and that should have been good enough. So and then you had one of the best matches at SummerSlam against Brock Lesnar. I mean, that was one of the – and you had The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And so, come on now. I just can't wrap my head around the fact that, you know, CM Punk is just so ridiculously, you know, just – complaining about, I mean, yeah, his 2013 wasn't as strong as his 2012 or 2011, really, Summer of Punk. And even, you know, 2012 to an extent, because he had the title the entire time before he lost to The Rock at Royal Rumble of last year. But even in the Royal Rumble, even last year, the Royal Rumble, I mean, real quick, 2013, big moments. He went against The Rock at the Royal Rumble. Yeah, he lost the title, but he went against The Rock at Royal Rumble. He went against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. He went against Brock Lesnar, had a really good feud with Paul Heyman. Went against Chris Jericho at Payback. That was a great match. And his hometown in Chicago goes against Chris Jericho at Payback last year. Goes against Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Feuds with the Wyatt family and the Shield, you know, him and Daniel Bryan against Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. That match wasn't all that good, but at least he was feuding with the Wyatt family, which is going against John Cena. Feuded against the Shield late in the year. So I can't wrap my head around just why he did what he did. I just can't accept it. It's unacceptable. Next we have the Bellas against Oksana and Alicia Fox. You know, Total Divas promotion. This is what I saw in this, and we just need something in the Divas. I agree with you, Derek. We need something more, something better in the Divas division. I'm just not satisfied.
How can anyone be satisfied with the Divas? I haven't been satisfied with the Divas for probably 4 or 5 years now. I mean, it's just you have your AJs and your Priscillas or whatever else they're called. It just doesn't really – it's not exciting. It's just absolutely not exciting anymore. The Divas division used to be something back in the Attitude Era, go back then. However, now it's a throwaway. It's a sham. You know, what else is on TV when they come on? I'm sorry to say that. Divas, you're beautiful, but you just have no in-ring personas.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the ring work is decent, but I think that maybe the charisma, maybe the lack of creativity in the storyline writing, I think that's a big thing. Because you have people who can wrestle. I mean, AJ Lee's a good wrestler. Alicia Fox is decent. Natalya's great. She's a great wrestler. But, Naomi's a really good wrestler. Cameron's getting much better. So you have people who can wrestle. But, you know, you just don't have the it factor when it comes to the Divas like you did with Trish and Lita and Victoria and even Mickie James. Not so much. Daniel Bryan in-ring promo will address what Ryan spoke about as far as Triple H owning the Chicago crowd. There were many times that, you know, they tried to chant CM Punk and hijack that segment. And Ryan's right. They did an unsuccessful attempt in trying to hijack that segment. And I definitely think that Triple H and Daniel Bryan did a really good job with managing the crowd during that time. And, of course, it led to Daniel Bryan challenging Triple H to a match at WrestleMania and then Triple H rejecting. And then Daniel Bryan and Triple H going back and forth and then Kane coming out. I don't want to see – I understand why Daniel Bryan against Triple H would be important, would be a good match. I get it. But with what we're seeing with Randy Orton and Batista, and we get a little bit more into that in just a bit, but what we're seeing with them, somebody – and I tweeted this during the show, during the Raw – week after week – that feud basically just it demands someone being inserted as a third person in that feud. It's no doubt. I mean, we saw the promo that Batista cut on SmackDown. It was basically his full turn to heel, and then he went against Dolph Ziggler, who was a face, and then he went against Daniel Bryan, a Raw, who's also a face. So it's safe to say that Batista's a heel now. Randy Orton's also a heel. So we definitely don't want to see heel versus heel. There has to be a third person. And I know that CM Punk legitimately walked out. If he comes back before WrestleMania, they can make this look like a big work and he's the third person inserted to the match. I don't want that to happen because I don't just, you know, it's not a matter of CM Punk always getting what he wants, because he did that before. He walked out. His contract was up, and he kind of demanded, you know, some time, and that's really where Summer of Punk came from in 2011. But no, I don't want CM Punk to be that third person. I definitely would rather Daniel Bryan be that third person. And I even tweeted, you know, even if Evan Bourne, I mean, no, it's sad that I keep using Evan Bourne as my default nobody, but I got mad respect for Evan Bourne. He's a great competitor. You know, I follow him when he was Matt Sydal in the Indies and in ROH. He's a good competitor. I actually like Evan Bourne, but he's just one of those people that the WWE would never give the time of day to, other than maybe a tag team run. So that's the reason why I'm using someone like Evan Bourne. Beforehand, I used to use Funaki a lot too, for some reason. Although I liked Funaki a lot, but Evan Bourne, Funaki, people like that, you have your flash of notoriety, your flash of moment. But other than that, no, they won't invest in you. So I even tweeted, you know, if you put Evan Bourne in the match at WrestleMania, he would get more pops than Batista and Randy Orton would. You would have people chanting and wanting Evan Bourne to be WWE World Heavyweight Champion before, you know, during that match. That's how much people don't care about Randy Orton and Batista. So with this segment here, it seems like they're leaning more towards Triple H and Daniel Bryan, but I don't want to see that, only because Daniel Bryan has to be in the world title match.
Has to be in the world title match. I don't – it's just going to be a throwaway match. I mean, Triple H, really, I don't think that that's going to do anything for Daniel Bryan. It's definitely not going to do anything for Triple H. So, yeah, I'm with you. That's just – Daniel Bryan has to be in the WrestleMania main event. You cannot have Cena and Orton. It's just going to be lame.
Batista and Orton. Even worse.
I'm sorry. Batista and Orton. That is boring. Kidding me? Batista's already worn out his welcome by far. How is he going to redeem himself? It's almost like, how is Mark Henry going to redeem himself? It's disgusting. So, yeah. Batista. Daniel Bryan has to be in the main event, or who cares about WrestleMania 30 other than just seeing Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, well said there. Dolph Ziggler getting a win on a Raw. Well, that's a surprise. He defeats Alberto Del Rio. Come WrestleMania season, I know that, you know, he was with Aaron Paul, and I understand that. Need for Speed, all about the promotion. Dolph Ziggler was a good person, you know, to be with him. And, of course, Dolph Ziggler was going to get the win because of that. But I just, it makes me wonder, like, where are these people going to be at WrestleMania? Alberto Del Rio and Dolph Ziggler. I really, it makes me wonder where they're going to be, how they're going to be used. And I just don't see anything. I really hoped, and I wrote a mildly controversial piece on my SmackDown review saying that I believe that Dolph Ziggler and Batista should have been a match at WrestleMania instead of on SmackDown, because I think that, I mean, Dolph Ziggler is really good in the ring. He's still way over and still has a good fan base. And Batista, he needs to put people over. There's no benefit of him being the top guy. Zero. Zero, zero, zero benefit. He's a heel now. Putting Dolph Ziggler over would do wonders in reviving Dolph Ziggler's push as a top guy. I think that should have happened, but now I doubt that he even makes a spot on Mania.
Oh, why would he make a spot on Mania? And this doesn't really make too much sense to me. This WrestleMania is just going to totally be a whole bust if things are panning out the way that they're going to go. And it's, you know, give us some good news, Chris. What's going to happen? Come on, we're hanging on to a lifeline here. Is this WrestleMania 30? Is it going to be like a WrestleMania 9? I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Or WrestleMania 11, where we're going to talk about here in the Flavor of the Week, WrestleMania 11 and 12. Ooh, 11 was rough. We'll definitely get to that soon. But and Julio last week, he made a really good point as far as 30 being it's the biggest number in the WWE history as far as WrestleMania is concerned. This isn't WrestleMania 17 or 27 or just an odd number. You know, every WrestleMania should be booked as the best WrestleMania, but there's no excuses this year. This is WrestleMania 30. This is the grandest WrestleMania in WWE history. This isn't 31. This isn't 31. This is an aftermath of a WrestleMania that's good. You know, this is 30. This is a big, big deal. And, you know, 31 just may be much better than 30, because 31, I'm sure we'll see Cena and Taker. I'm sure we'll see The Rock back. We'll probably see Rock against Brock Lesnar. And I'm sure Jericho will be back. So 31 may even be much better. I mean, the fact that we'll most likely see Rock versus Brock and Taker versus Cena, that alone just screams 31 would be much better. And what the heck? We may even see CM Punk against Steve Austin. Who knows? Maybe. So, and then Hogan will be back. We'll see a bigger Hogan segment because, of course, this is a bit rushed because Hogan just signed, and so he's hosting 30. I don't want to see Hogan in a wrestling role, but we'll maybe see him in a more prominent role at 31. So, who knows? But this is all hypothetical. But 31 has the chance of being much better than 30, and 30 is a big monumental number. You can't just do a trial and error WrestleMania this year. You can't do it. They did it with 27 when they had The Miz coming in as champ and going against John Cena. That was a trial and error type of thing. It didn't work out at the end because The Miz is a mid-card nobody now. Sadly, because I still like The Miz. And I didn't like him then, but I like him now. But you just can't – this is not a trial and error WrestleMania. So I'm not a big fan with their direction at all coming into WrestleMania 30. Then again, like I said, Big E versus Jack Swagger. Then Cesaro neutralizes Big E. Jack Swagger and Cesaro have a verbal exchange. And Cesaro's about the giant swing Swagger, but Deb Coulter forces them to hug it out. Whatever. I mean, we saw that before with Team Hell No. They had to hug it out. So, I don't know. It really seems like we'll see a triple threat match for the Intercontinental title, which is, like I said, I don't like it, but Big E Langston needs to be the star of when it comes to the Intercontinental title. Book his title run right. You have the opportunity to book his title run properly, so do it. There's so many mid-carders that he can go against. I mean, there's just a revolving door of mid-carders that he could go against every month to make him look like a better champion. You have Swagger, Cesaro, Damian Sandow. You have Alberto Del Rio. He's an upper mid-carder, but Del Rio and Big E for the Intercontinental title, I'd be totally fine with that at Mania. You have Christian. There's enough people for Big E Langston to have the Intercontinental title. Even Alexander Rusev. Bring him, if you're making him a big name already, which I don't think is a good idea, Alexander Rusev against Big E Langston, two big behemoths. Titus O'Neil's another person. You have enough people to make Big E Langston look like a workhorse champion, Intercontinental champion like they used to in the early 90s. You have the talent there. The booking is just atrocious. The booking's absolutely atrocious when it comes to the Intercontinental Championship.
The booking is atrocious. Hello? Hey, you know what? The thing about the book, you're crazy. I mean, Big E Langston, he deserves to have the title now. He's the only one that could really have the title and make it look somewhat decent like it used to. And it just doesn't fare well. Swagger, Cesaro, and they're going to do it eventually. But Big E Langston is the mainstay right now for the Intercontinental Championship. I believe he's going to keep it. But the sad part is, who else is going to take it and make it look as good as Big E Langston can? Big E Langston is the best they got right now. So to take it from him, who's it going to be, and are they going to be a worthy contender?
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good point. You can argue Cesaro, which I'd be, which Cesaro could, but there's not enough strong baby faces to feud against Cesaro. There's not. A baby face needs to have the Intercontinental title right now, because there's a swarm of heels that can feud against Big E right now. There's not enough mid-card baby faces. Tyson Kidd's somewhere wrestling, somewhere in his basement with Natalya. Then you have Darren Young, which isn't going to amount to anything. Talking about another victim of the genetic treatment. And you have Zack Ryder, who hasn't been relevant in 2 years. So you don't have enough baby faces to feud against a heel, but you have enough heels to feud against Big E Langston. So, come on, WWE. Do something with that. Then we got John Cena's in-ring promo. Wyatt Family appears. And Bray Wyatt cuts a good promo, as always. But I'm definitely not sold on this at all for WrestleMania. Then we see Daniel Bryan versus Batista. And Randy Orton. Daniel Bryan wins by DQ as a result of Randy Orton coming in, and we see Triple H and Kane coming in, and Batista spearing Daniel Bryan, Triple H pedigreeing Daniel Bryan. And that saddens me, because it makes it seem like Triple H and Daniel Bryan even more, and I don't want to see that. I do not want to see Triple H and Daniel Bryan. I hope that at the end of the day, Daniel Bryan, because here's the thing, we kind of saw an alliance, so to speak, and of course Randy Orton was trying to, it kind of seemed like he was about to RKO Batista, but he didn't. And so we're seeing kind of an alliance with the Authority now. It seems like Batista and Randy Orton are in cahoots, so to speak. So that would be such an amazing build. you have a month to say, okay, well, Batista's with the Authority now. You know, there's still some dissension between Batista and Randy Orton. They're trying to jockey for position to be the number one guy for the Authority. So you have Batista and Randy Orton both trying to get in good graces with Triple H, kind of like what Kurt Angle and Steve Austin did back in the early 2000s with Vince, when they were together reluctantly initially, but they started to kind of gel a little bit more, and then they broke away again. Especially that guitar scene with Vince McMahon with Kurt Angle and Steve Austin, that was one of the funniest segments still in the WWE history. But they could do that. Batista and Randy Orton jockey for position to be the guy for the Authority, and boom, that's when you insert Daniel Bryan in there, and you have him be the third person and go up against the odds of having both Batista and Randy Orton be for the Authority. So that's the – and then you have, 70,000 people at the Mercedes-Benz Dome chanting yes at the end of WrestleMania. That is the WrestleMania moment that most people would love to see. You're chanting – just everyone chanting yes, just the entire stadium chanting yes at the end of the show – Daniel Bryan becomes WWE World Heavyweight Champion. What more could you ask for?
That was beautiful when Daniel Bryan just kicked Triple H in the head. I just came out of nowhere. So bonk.
Yeah.
There it was.
It was like bloop.
That was the perfect end to Raw. I love Triple H, always will, but just the Daniel Bryan just kicked him in the head. But here you go. This is what I think. That was just wonderful. Bryan deserves so much that they're just not giving him. They are, but they're not. They put it in his hands and they just yank it from him. I know it's creating a great build, but this has been months and months and months in the making. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Because, I mean, it's like really when they didn't have pay-per-views every month, this was a usual storyline where someone just took months and months and months and months to build. So what's Bryan, he is the primetime player now.
Yeah, that's a good point, but at the same time, you know, this isn't 20 years ago. This isn't 25 years ago, really. As far as you make a very good point, the slow builds were much different, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s. You only had, you know, 3 to 4 pay-per-views a year. The slow builds were much different, but the pulse of the wrestling crowd was much more traditional. When it comes to, you'll have a match with Barry Windham against Ric Flair for an hour, and the wrestling crowd would just sit there, you know, because that's how the cadence of the crowd was back in the 80s. But when you came to the Monday Night Wars, the Attitude Era, that was just a big shift in the pulse of the crowd. Now it's gimme, 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 gimme. It's a microwave crowd, so to speak. You have just these quick, you know, gimme, 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 let's make this hot real quick. And you can't unring that bell. You just can't. And so you have to play to it. And you have, you know, 12 to 14 pay-per-views a year, so you got to capitalize on each and every one of them. And so the slow build, I understand, because from a traditionalist standpoint, I'm okay with the slow builds. However, at the same time, don't make Daniel Bryan, don't bury and just dig Daniel Bryan deeper and deeper and deeper because of that. No, I don't like that. I don't like it at all, because I keep comparing Daniel Bryan as the new age Steve Austin. And when Austin feuded with Vince in the late 90s, Austin would be champ. I mean, there was you would have, you know, Austin lose the title to Rock or Triple H or The Undertaker, and Vince would have his moment for a little bit, but not long. I mean, look at when the First Blood steel cage match that Kane had again. It was Austin versus Kane, and Kane won the title, and he only had the title for a day. It lost it right back on Raw. So, and that's what boosted the ratings, because Austin was the top guy, and he feuded against McMahon, and Vince McMahon constantly tried to dethrone him from being the top guy. That's what the crowd liked. That's what the crowd wanted to see. But now it's Daniel Bryan has that anti-authority kind of, he has that anti-authority angle going for him, but they're booking it all wrong, man. They are just booking it all wrong and just having him continue to go against the grain. Nowadays, that gets old. You can't afford to have, you know, that happen and just continue to suppress Daniel Bryan's push. So, it's unfortunate. Hopefully we'll see better. SmackDown, we got SmackDown review, as always, WrestlingInc.com. I addressed the fact that Dolph Ziggler and Batista should have been a match, should have been a match of WrestleMania. So the six-man match at the end was good. And we had another build of Sheamus and Christian, and it looks like we're going to see that at WrestleMania. I don't want to see that. I like their feud as far as what we've seen, but just the marquee singles match at WrestleMania 30, I am not interested. The six man match at the end was good. Daniel Bryan and the Usos defeating Kane and New Age Outlaws. One thing, real quick, before we go to Flavor of the Week. And, of course, Impact Wrestling Review, they were in London, England. We'll get, you know, Austin Aries kind of double-crosses MVP. But he tweets that he's not a good guy or a bad guy. So I don't know where that really came from. It's kind of confusing. And good to see Doug Williams back. I'm a big Doug Williams fan. I've said many times on the show, I have a knack for European wrestlers for some reason. I don't know why. I like the brute, rugged style of European wrestling, and that's why I'm a big Doug Williams fan, Fit Finley. I like Wade Barrett. I like Sheamus. For a while, I didn't like Sheamus, but I'm liking Sheamus again. I like William Regal. So I like European. I like European wrestling wrestlers. But really good to see him back. Bad Bones didn't really do much of anything. Gut check winner, European gut check winner. And then real quick, we had more development to Lockdown, which is actually this Sunday, the pay-per-view is. And, you know, so it was decent. I just don't understand the Wolves winning the tag team titles on a house show. That was ridiculous. So not good booking there. And then finally ROH was good, actually. It was 12th anniversary. We saw Michael Elgin defeating Raymond Rowe, who was the runner-up of the Top Prospect Tournament. Hansen won. And I always say, every time I look at Hansen, I think that he should be a member of the Wyatt family. He's like a lost member of the Wyatt family. Jay Briscoe defeating Michael Bennett, defending the real ROH World Championship. I like that angle going with him. And then finally, AJ Styles defeating Jay Lethal. Fantastic, fantastic match between those two. And just, it's both for their stomping grounds. They both had a really good opportunity in TNA. And, you know, both of them didn't like their direction, unfortunately. And Jay Lethal was let go, and AJ Styles was too. I think that was a horrible decision for them to do that. So, yeah, now we're going to get to the flavor of the week, WrestleMania 9. WrestleMania 9. It was in Hartford, Connecticut, you know, basically down the street from the WWE headquarters. And I'm sure, you know, Hartford and Stanford is not down the street from each other, but figuratively. It was, I'm sure that the cost wasn't as much as going, you know, thousands of miles to out west to L.A. or somewhere there or Washington or California. So it was built on the crossover of Lawrence Taylor being in the WWE, having this moment of shine. And for some reason, Vince McMahon, first of all, there are only 7 matches on the card. I have to say that there, you know, WrestleMania, there's been good, there's been bad. But WrestleMania 11 is one of my personal least favorites. You got the Allied Powers defeating the Blue Brothers. Yeah. Nothing big there. Nobody really. Speaking of the Blue Brothers, interesting bit there. Zeb Coulter was also WrestleMania 11 as Uncle. Yeah, it was Uncle Zebekiah. So he was a different gimmick in WrestleMania 11. Interestingly enough, so I didn't really care about Allied Powers and the Blues Brothers. I think it was just a thrown-together tag team match. Then you got Razor Ramon defeating the Roadie by disqualification. I'm sorry, defeating Jeff Jarrett with the Roadie. So he didn't win the Intercontinental title because Jeff Jarrett had it. And you get one of the worst Undertaker matches in his entire streak. I wrote on Retro Wednesday last week that his, you know, his worst one was WrestleMania 9 against Johnny Gonzalez. I would say number 2 is a toss-up between Big Show and A-Train, the handicap match, and this one here. He defeats King Kong Bundy, ladies and gentlemen. King Kong Bundy. And you get Larry Young as a special referee. It was just, I mean, this guy's an umpire. I mean, like, what? What in the world? I just didn't really understand just this card being the way that it was. I understand that it was all about, you know, Camp Cornette and you know, against The Undertaker. Or the Million Dollar Corporation is what it was. So I get it. King Kong Bundy was with Ted DiBiase. And then you had Owen Hart and Yokozuna defeating the Smoking Guns to capture the tag team titles. I Quit match, Bret Hart defeating Bob Backlund. Roddy Piper, the special guest referee. Yeah, that was okay. Bob Backlund had his resurgence a year before and won the WWE Championship. Diesel defeating Shawn Michaels to retain the WWE Championship. Shawn Michaels won the Royal Rumble but lost the title match. And then the main event, Lawrence Taylor defeating Bam Bam Bigelow. I'll never forget his finisher. He was lodged on the second rope and did like a flying elbow smash. Oh, man, it was such a horrible main event. And I just, WrestleMania 11 was probably one of the biggest throwaway WrestleManias to me, period.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of like an in-your-house type of pay-per-view. It did not have WrestleMania quality. Other than the fact you had Lawrence Taylor there because he was a celebrity, but that didn't really add much glitz and glamour once the curtain came down, so... It was a bad WrestleMania. It was worse than WrestleMania 9. They're in the running. But honestly, yeah. I mean, Bob Backlund and Bret Hart, that was a decent match. You had Roddy Piper in there in the mix. I always liked Bob Backlund. He's a funny character. But, yeah, it wasn't that great. So what went on in WrestleMania 12? What can you tell us?
WrestleMania 12 was – a lot of people also say that this was not a good WrestleMania as well. I think it was good. I think it was okay. Real quick, Anaheim, California. There were only six matches on this one. Six-man tag, Camp Cornette defeating Yokozuna, Jake Roberts, and Ahmed Johnson. Yokozuna leaving Camp Cornette not too long before that and just kind of throwing together three baby faces to go against Camp Cornette, which was Vader, Owen Hart, and British Bulldog. Steve Austin with Ted DiBiase defeating Savio Vega. Ultimate Warrior squashing Triple H. Well, Hunter Hurts Helmsley at the time. Undertaker defeating Diesel. That was interesting because his streak was almost going to end. Many report that he was going to lose against Diesel that year in 96. Roddy Piper defeating Goldust in the Hollywood Backlot Brawl. That was a memorable match. And then the end, number six, the Iron Man match. I mean, that's the reason why there are only six matches, but the Iron Man match between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, that was a very memorable match. And a lot of people don't like, well, from what I've seen before, people have not too good things to say about WrestleMania 12. I think the Iron Match was really good. So what do you think, Derek?
I liked WrestleMania 12. I thought it was great. There was a really good build-up to it with the whole Shawn Michaels boyhood dream and Bret Hart wanting to be the best there is, best there was, and whatever. And the match with Roddy Piper and Goldust when they used the O.J. Simpson Bronco chase, and everyone thought it was Roddy Piper. I mean, that was great. I thought it was a good WrestleMania. You had Stone Cold Steve Austin as a – was he the Stone Cold at the time, or was he still the Ringmaster?
But, the Ringmaster,
The Ringmaster. So that was kind of his debut, and it was, you know, there was a lot of talent in WrestleMania 12 that eventually went on to, kind of make the Attitude Era and the Monday Night Rating Wars and whatnot. So I liked WrestleMania 12. I thought it holds its own. So the Iron Man match was great. So I liked WrestleMania 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked it, too. A lot of people didn't really say anything about it. I think he was just transitioning it into Stone Cold, if I'm not mistaken, because he was the Ringmaster feuding with Savio Vega, and he was transitioning into Stone Cold Steve Austin at the time. So, all right, episode 101 under wraps. Great episode as always. We're gonna bring back Stump the host again. We didn't have enough time last week, and we had a lot to cover this week as well. So, Stump the host. Actually, we're going to do something interesting next week. So, Derek, get prepared. It's going to be a Stump the host, but it's going to be Chris versus Derek. Dun, dun, dun. So,
uh-oh.
Get ready. Get ready, Derek. Yes, get ready, get ready. It's going to be a fun, fun time. And we're just going to throw questions to each other throughout the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. So Stump the host, a different swing to it. And chat room, feel free to throw questions. Twitter, feel free to throw questions as well. 101, it is complete a success. Again, thank you all for supporting. Thank you all for continuing to spread the word about Pancakes and Power Slams. Follow me at Crave Wrestling Twitter. Follow me at Chris Prolific, personal Twitter page. Crave Wrestling on Facebook. WrestlingInc.com. Check out tomorrow's, today's Retro Wednesday. We passed the 12 o'clock hour. And Bleacher Report, still a feature columnist there. And if you got an article, if you got an idea, shoot me a tweet. Let me know. I'll give you credit. So thank you so much again, and continue to support Crave Wrestling. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless. I love you, Elijah, my wonderful son, and have a good night. Bye-bye.